Welcome back to Beyond the Gate, our Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood podcast. I'm Megan.
And I'm Meg.
And today, we are once again recording in person together.
Yes!
Which rarely happens, but it's gonna be great. And we had to do this because we are covering the last two episodes of the series, episodes 63 and 64. So we will begin with episode 63, The Other Side of the Gateway. And I apologize in advance for the way my voice sounds. I've been sick, so it's low and sultry.
Okay, let's start. So, summary of episode 63. When the battle ends, the one known as Father meets his final fate beyond the gateway. When the one known as Full Metal enters the sacred space, he finds only the promise of a new beginning.
Oh. All right, and this covers manga chapter 108, Journey's End. And the cover's basically the next one, too. It's like, a really long chapter.
Mm-hmm. Is that, like, the besides the bonus one, is that the only chapter in the...
Oh, no, in the volume, there is the previous chapter, which was, So chapter 107 was the last battle, and that covers a decent chunk, too. Yeah. But that, I mean, it's definitely not as long as the last chapter.
Never mind, I thought I had not even started this volume, but I guess I must have. Alright. So the episode starts off with a quick glimpse of the original dwarf in the flask. And he's asking Hohenheim if he wants to be free, because they are both trapped. The dwarf in the flask, obviously, and Hohenheim as a slave. And then we start the final fight. Ed is just punching Father. That is all he's doing, and I kind of love it.
Yeah.
And he does this until Father collapses, and, like, God is released. He comes out of Father. I think that's what happens, at least.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's definitely losing control. I also wanted to make a mention in the manga, Ed is clutching his right arm at the shoulder whenever he's not using his hand, and I'm not sure if it happens in the anime, but they definitely focus on it.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the anime.
Yeah, and the reason for that is there are bits of metal shrapnel from his old automail sticking into his skin, and there's a lot of blood, and it looks quite painful. Like, even moving his arm is probably agonizing, and... That's not even to mention what happened to his left arm, getting, like, that stake through it before.
Yeah, yeah. And Father, he just lost God, and he tries to take Greed. He grabs, sticks his hand into Ling's stomach, and Ling inside is, like, holding on to Greed, like, no, you can't have him. And Greed is like, let me go, there's no point in having both of us, die, but then Ling won't do that, and then he convinces Ling that, oh yeah, you're right, we're gonna fight together, and so he's like, okay, and then Greed punches Ling in the face, and Ling lets go, and it's just, it's such a sweet moment, because Ling, like, doesn't want him to say goodbye, and he's like, no, you can't do this, but Greed's like, nope, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna save you. And then he goes into Father, and he reverses his ultimate shield so that it's super fragile.
Yeah, in the manga he says he reverses it to charcoal.
That makes sense. That's what it, like, looks like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he crumbled apart pretty easily then.
Yeah, well, first, Father is annoyed by Greed, and so he like, rips him out of his mouth. And so he's gonna die, and Greed has this moment where he's like remembering the friends that he's made, and he even though he didn't like rule the world, he actually had what he wanted, and he says goodbye, and it's just like, both Ed and Ling, they look like so distraught. It's so sad.
Yeah, and in the manga, Greed says, don't look at me like that, you snot-nosed brats. Sheesh, neither Ling nor the runty alchemist ever treated me with the respect I deserved. It's more than enough.
Oh my gosh, I love their light friendship, it's so cute.
Yeah.
And Ed is angry, and he punches Father through the middle. And all the souls that Father was holding on to are released, and his Philosopher's Stone has been destroyed. Then he is dragged back to where he came from, which is inside the Portal of Truth, and now he's back to being the dwarf. And the dwarf is very upset because he lost, and he's like, I just wanted to be free. Like, how did I fail? And Truth is like, well, you removed your seven desires. You gave up your humanness. And the dwarf, he just doesn't understand. He's like, what's wrong with craving knowledge and pursuing perfection? I don't know. I like that question. Because, like...
He really does want to know, what did I do wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. And that is something that's like, yeah, what is wrong with that? But, well, we were talking about it, and too much knowledge can be a bad thing. I don't know. Perfection is, it's, well, one, it's unattainable for humans. Yes. So it's not possible. And especially, like, when you give up his seven desires, like, then you don't even understand what it is to be perfect anymore. Like, you lose that knowledge, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he was trying so hard corrupted him, aside from the fact that he was willing to destroy others' lives to get what he mm-hmm. wanted, but he also just doesn't get what it means to live and experience life. Yeah, he doesn't really know what he's trying to achieve. Like, is he trying to be human? Obviously not. He's trying to be perfect. Uh-huh. So he's trying to be God then? No, obviously not. He tried to surpass God. So what on earth are you aiming for?
Yeah, I think he just kind of got lost in, like, what the true goal was. And, like, he didn't even know what he was looking for.
I think, like, to truth, maybe it's less about attaining something and more about what you learn along the way or what you value. Mm-hmm. And he didn't value anything because he was always trying to get more and more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is the end of Father. The dwarf and the flask, I guess.
Yeah.
he gets dragged into the portal, and, that's kind of the end.
Yep. I almost felt bad for him, because he was, like, wailing, like, don't send me back there, and I was thinking, what's so horrible that he doesn't want to go back?
Yeah.
But also, he's a terrible thing, so, goodbye.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people.
Goodbye, good riddance.
Yeah. Tried to kill 50 million people. So I don't feel super bad for him. and then we go back outside of the portal, and May and Ed are, like, leaning over Al's armor. He hasn't come back yet. And Ed, Ling offers him the Philosopher's Stone to get Al back, but Ed refuses because, you know, they made the promise that they wouldn't use it to get their bodies back. And then, I don't know, Ed reminded me of myself in this moment. He's like, just keep thinking. You're gonna come up with an idea.
Don't stop thinking. Yeah, also, this is bad, but every time someone's like, keep thinking, the only thing going through my mind is, think, like Winnie the Pooh, you know? When he's in his thinking corner, he's like, think.
Cute. and then he's not having any luck, and then Hohenheim offers himself up. He's like, I have just enough in my Philosopher's Stone to do this transmutation, to be the sacrifice. And I don't know, his whole speech was really sweet. He basically is like, I want you guys to be happy, and I want to be a good father. And he feels like he does bear some responsibility for what happened. Because he wasn't there. And then he apologizes to Ed.
Which is all Ed wanted to hear, I think.
Uh-huh. And Ed refuses Hohenheim's offer, and he starts crying.
Which is the biggest moment in the whole show, because, as we know, Ed refuses to cry. So to see him break in front of his dad over his lost brother mm-hmm. was huge. And it is an impactful moment in the manga, too. But I really like how the anime definitely honed in on this moment for him crying in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's basically like, well, he calls him my father.
Yeah.
And
you rotten father.
Yeah. And he's But he won't use another human life. So he's like, I gotta keep thinking, gotta come up with something. And then he remembers like all the friends that he has rooting for him, and then he comes up with an idea.
And in the manga, Risa is wondering, is Ed going to try to trade himself for Al? But Mustang replies, Ed would never do that because he's experienced being left behind all alone and would never subject Al to the same fate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I think it was episode 5 when they were like fighting Scar, and Ed tries to sacrifice himself. Al was real mad.
Oh, yeah,
and
he punched him.
Yeah, and, like, I think he made him promise not to do that, so.
Yeah, he said something along the lines of, like, you can't just give up on living. Like, keep living, even if something happens to me and your life isn't worthless. You can't just say, I'll trade my life for your life and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but then he comes up with an idea and he draws a human transmutation circle and transmutes himself into the portal. And we see Ed in the portal, and he offers up his door in exchange for Al. So he's giving up his alchemy. And truth, I saw for just a moment, he was shocked.
Yep.
And he's like, you won't be able to use alchemy, and you're lowering yourself to a simple human. And Ed kind of gives this speech that he's like, I used to think I'd be able could solve everything with alchemy, but I couldn't even save a little girl, which is a reference to Nina.
Yep.
And all he's ever been is a simple human. And Truth asks him once more if this is what he wants. And then we see Ed remembering, well, he hears all his friends saying his name, and friends and family, and then he's like, who even needs alchemy when I've got them?
Ed is the best protagonist in fiction, maybe apart from like a couple I can think of, but like when I first watched this show with you, I was thinking, this is a main character that I find no problem with. Like, it's not like he always makes the right decisions, but he's got the heart of a true hero. Mm-hmm. So it's just seeing him give up so much for his brother, and I wouldn't say not care, like, there's probably some sadness there, like, ah, man, I'm giving up this thing I could do, but him saying, I know I'm gonna be fine because of the people around me, and because this is the right thing to do, that's the powerful moment.
Yeah. I just love that moment so much. And then Truth, he laughs, and he's like, I've been beaten, and Emily says, good job, you beat me. And he takes the door and disappears. And then Ed sees Al. And I just, I love, like, the image of them. Like, they go through the portal together. And I love it. And then Al, he wakes up and he shakes hands with Honheim. And he's like, hi, Dad. Just love it. And then May hugs him. And it's so cute.
In the manga, it's when Honheim and he shake hands, Al says, it's weird to feel human contact again. It's like a jolt of electricity went through my body straight to my brain. And in the manga, Al gets a hug from Sig, who has rejoined the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. Actually, one other thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to, is that Ed just gave up his alchemy. And somebody else pointed this out, but Ed's first and last transmutation without a circle was for Al. First to get his soul out of the portal, and then to get his body back.
Yeah.
And it's so sweet. Like, but it's very fitting. Yeah, but then now we have the aftermath of the battle. We hear on the radio that Olivier and Mustang have taken control,
they kind of like rework the story to be like, Olivier Armstrong actually wasn't in cahoots with the people staging the coup, and she and Mustang worked together to stop the real culprits behind it, and they end up framing like two of the guys who were with the Fuhrer before, and so everything's worked out in the military, like who the blame falls mm-hmm. to, basically.
Yeah, the true culprits took the blame.
Yes.
Except for the Fuhrer and Selim.
They get off scot-free because they're dead, so why try to...
And also, that would be too complicated to be like, oh, yeah, they weren't human.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it.
It's better to have them as martyrs than as traitors, especially when you think about Mrs. Bradley.
Yeah, yep. Speaking of Mrs. Bradley, we see Ed give Mrs. Bradley Selim on his coat, and it's so cute. And I was just saying to Megan that, like, did Selim get to keep his red coat? Because that would be so adorable. And, well, Ed can't make another one. Al can make one for him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
And then we see Hohenheim. He is reminiscing about the dwarf in the flask, and he's remembering that conversation that first happened at the beginning of the episode, and he's kind of regretting, like, what's happened and how everything got so out of hand. But then Alex Armstrong, he comes up to Hohenheim, and he's like, thank you for Ed and Al. Like, without them, we wouldn't have been able to do this. And it's so sweet, because in Hohenheim, he kind of, like, walks away, and he's, like, sobbing. And I don't know, I think he needed that moment, too, because I imagine that, like, he probably had a lot of guilt, because the father was made from his blood. And without him, the dwarf in the flask, like, would never have escaped. And, I mean, he probably would have used somebody else, yeah. But, like, you know, he feels a lot of guilt for that.
It really wasn't his fault, considering his position in life when the dwarf was created.
Yeah.
But
you would still...
Yeah.
You would still feel guilty.
For sure. But kudos to Hohenheim for spending all of his very long life hunting this thing down to take mm-hmm. it, to take it out.
Like, yeah, yeah.
He did the right thing.
Yeah, tried to make it right. And then the last scene in the episode, Hohenheim is at Trisha's grave. And he's telling her that he's home, and about Ed and Al, and how Ed called him father. And then he's like, I had a fulfilling life because of her and the boys. But now he's not ready to go. But then he dies, and Panako finds him at the grave, smiling. And it's very sweet.
Yep. And that's episode 63. So covering the last couple bits here, theories for things were never explained in the show. When Father is, finally defeated, and he's, like, crumbling, or, like, being sucked into himself, that was mm-hmm. weird. When he speaks, it sounds like all of the homunculi's voices were synced together. Like, mm-hmm. like they got the voice actors to say the same line and put it over each other.
Yeah, I could definitely hear Envy for yeah, sure. Yeah,
I could hear Envy, and then Father himself, and... I don't know. I feel like maybe greed wasn't mixed in, but maybe there was some more feminine tone, so maybe lust was in there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I liked that. I liked that attention to detail.
I guess. Yeah. Homunculi deaths. Father bit the dust, finally. And also greed. Sorry. That was like really sad.
Yeah, I did not want him to go.
No.
But I think his death, it was a good death.
Yeah, well, especially since he was like, hey, I got what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, as for animation expertise, it was a really cool attention to detail. When it comes to Ed and Al, like, Ed's right arm has significantly atrophied, and the nails are really long and overgrown and sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can tell that he just got that arm back. And as for Al, his whole body is really frail, and his hair is grown out, and he has long nails, too, on his feet and his hands. It looks like he needs some sunshine, a good meal, and lots of sleep.
Mm-hmm. And then something that also that we wanted to discuss was, does Ed really go against his no killing philosophy when he takes down Father?
Well, there are arguments for both sides, because he did land the final blow, but at the same time, greed had already worn him down so much. So it was really more greed than Ed, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Father, he might have been, just because he was trying to contain too much, he might have been doomed from the start. And, like...
Yeah, I mean, like, his Philosopher's Stone was gone.
Yeah. I mean, they're able, when they defeat him, they release all the Xerxes' souls.
Yeah.
So then he's got nothing left to draw on, so he might not have even been able to survive, because he has no flask, he has nothing to survive in.
Yeah, and also, like, he didn't really die, because he, like, returned to where he came from, which is, like, what Ed said, because he's like, why... I don't remember exactly what he said, but it's like, so why'd you kill me? Go back to where you came from.
Yeah, because he's just going to be trapped there for eternity now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, he's a homunculi. He was never really human to begin with. Yeah. So, like, that's also...
So, Ed didn't really go against his morals. And even if he did, this is like a creature who needs to be taken down.
Once again, tried to kill 50 million people.
Yes.
So.
That also makes me think, since the dwarf in the flask is going to be subjected to, like, staying in the gate wherever the portal leads for eternity, Al might have had the same fate if his body and soul had been sucked to the portal of truth and he was just sitting in front of that door for eternity. He wouldn't, like, his consciousness would have been in there. He would just be existing, probably until his natural lifespan ran out, because he wouldn't have, or because he wouldn't have Ed's nutrients coming to him. He would have starved to death and died in the portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but he got rescued, so.
Yeah. So we don't have to think about that. And last thing, story elements analysis. So this is the episode where we defeat the big bad. It took everyone, but ultimately our main character lands the final blow, though it could be argued that Greed's sacrifice is what really did him in.
Yeah, I think Ed would have been able to.
Oh, for sure, he was on a
because wall. Well, he and Father just like lost his. Well, no, he lost his Philosopher's Stone after Ed punched a hole through him.
Yep, because that's when the souls flew out.
So, but I think he would have been able to do it, especially if somebody else had. They would have done it.
Yes,
I believe in him. all right, so. For episode 63, what was your favorite line?
Mine came from Ling. You can't just sucker punch me like that!
I love that one.
Yeah, and what was yours?
Mine was from Ed, and when he was talking to his dad, he's like, shut up, you rotten father.
Oh.
I love that one. Alright, and then what did we learn in this episode?
The people you love are more important than your abilities.
Yes, I like that. And who pushed the story forward in this episode?
Greed, for sacrificing himself. And, of course, Ed, for cracking Truth's code and saving Al.
Yes. It's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, moving on. Now we're on the very last episode, episode 64, Journey's End.
Yes, and... For the summary of this episode, as one shared journey ends, many journeys begin. Those most touched by the conflict which surrounded the Philosopher's Stone now go their separate ways. One thing is certain, they will meet again.
Whoever wrote all of the descriptions for these episodes, please, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, they did a really good job.
Please write all the descriptions for every single show.
I don't know if it... Actually, I'm just going to quick go to see if it says
if it credits. It if it was Aaron Dismuk, I swear.
All right, I don't see. Okay. They didn't credit them, but they did a great job.
Yeah, for this one, maybe it's nostalgia because they watched the original, but whoever they got to do the descriptions, I just feel like not a lot of attention is given to making descriptions. Like, if you just read an average description for, like, Bogo Stray Dogs or Dr. Stone, it just has the bare bones of what happens. Mm-hmm. But in this one, it's like a narrative that they are writing for us.
Yeah, it sounds really nice.
Yeah.
All right, so this is more, I guess you could say, more aftermath and what happens in the future for this episode. We first start out with Team Roy. Dr. Knox has come to visit Roy in the hospital. And we see Mustang is training to become Fuhrer with his men. We see... Also, one cute little detail is that Risa and Roy are sharing a hospital room, but it's so cute. Anyway.
Yeah, that's couple goals, sharing a hospital room.
Yes! Well, actually, I wonder if that happens. Like, if you, like, if you get in a car accident and both get injured, like,
well, I would want to be next to my family if something happened to us at the same time.
And save money.
So, yeah, yeah. That's what really matters.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Dr. Knox is talking to Mustang, and he's like, Mustang says, like, I'm okay with being blind. And he's like, I envisioned a better future, and this is the price that I had to pay, which he has such a good attitude.
Yeah.
But again, like, yes, he gave this up, but he has all his friends to help him out. And I think that really helps. And then we hear his plans. He's not going to become the Fear right away, but he wants to restore Ishval. And Risa's like, it won't reverse our sins, but it's a start. And Marco is also there, and he brought the Philosopher's Stone, and he's like, I want to help you. I want to heal you, Roy, if you're going to help the Ishmaelans. And Roy accepts, but he says that Havoc has to get help first.
Yeah, in the manga, Havoc doesn't get healed. Roy doesn't, they don't mention him at all. The scene goes down a little bit differently. And I think I heard somebody mention in one of those analysis videos that the scene was a little more impactful for him because Roy is kind of like, he's refusing the stone at first. He's like, I don't want to use that. Mm-hmm. That's made from human souls. But Marco's saying, like, I can't bring back the souls that were used for the stone. I want to use, like, I can't speak for the souls, but I would think that they would want to use their lives for something to help someone and to be released or something to that extent.
Yeah.
I can't quote it verbatim, but something like that, and Roy accepts. But Havoc in the manga, though he doesn't get healed by a stone, he goes through rehab, and it can be assumed that maybe he gets to walk again, like he isn't wheelchair bound, but I doubt he has full use of his legs like previously.
It's like never the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to tell, but there's a brief photograph in like the back panel, like afterwards, and it shows him going through rehab.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they kind of did him dirty in the manga, but also I don't mind that too, because obviously he worked for it and like was able to at least get some mobility back. All right, so that's kind of the wrapping it up with Team Roy. And now we get to see Scar, and we see that, well, he's still alive.
Yeah.
And Olivier and Miles have gone to visit him, and we learn that Mustang has asked Miles to help him with the Ishmaelans, like, give them back, help restore their land and their cultures. Their culture, not cultures. And just help him with that process. And Miles asks Scar to help him do that, and Scar accepts. And we also hear, like, a little bit of an inner monologue where he's like, is this why I'm still alive, brother, to help my people? And then Olivier asks him what his name is, and he's like, I died twice, and I no longer need a name, so you can call me anything.
Okay, anything.
Right?
My name is John now.
It's like dad jokes. Olivier would pull out a dad joke, though. And then finally our boys.
Yeah.
Ed and Al, the battle has been over for, I think, 2 months is what they say.
Yep.
And they're finally returning to Rizimbul. And then we kind of learn what happens with Ling and Mei, and they went back to Xing. They actually go, like, right away after the battle is over because they need to bury Fu.
Yeah.
We also get a cute thing between Ling and Mei where he promises to protect Mei's family because now they have the Philosopher's Stone. And so he's going to become the Emperor. And I love Mei's like, you're greedy for trying to accept and protect everyone.
And Ling's like, oh man, he rubbed off on me.
Yep. And then Ed and Ling say goodbye, and it's so adorable because they like give each other like fist bump, and I love it. And something like super brief that I wanted to mention, somebody like posted about this at some point, the journey back to Xing was probably difficult just because both Ling and Lanfang were dealing with, well, Ling had a million souls inside of him, and now he only has his own. So I imagine that would be kind of difficult. Yeah, and weird. And then Lanfan, she never, like, fully healed from getting her arm, and she, like, fought with it, and so...
Yeah.
There's...
And they're going back across the desert, which is not good for automail.
Yeah, yeah, so that journey had to have been very difficult, and it was... And they were bringing back Fu, who's now gone, and so it just... like, it was happy that they were, like, able to, you know, complete... You know, they accomplished what they set out to do, but it wasn't easy. It cost them a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say for now. And then we get, like, this super, like, cute little thing where, Ed's like, so May, and then Al's like, so wintry.
That's just, I love when Ed's teasing Al, he's like, are you aiming to become a prince of Shing or something?
And Al's so like, oh yeah, I like her, but it's so cute.
He doesn't deny it, of course not.
Yeah.
And okay, just spoiler, but we do see how they look when they're older at the end, and May's glow up, she's a catch.
Well, we all knew she was gonna be.
Yeah.
And then we see Winry waiting with apple pie, but then she hears something outside, and she comes out, and it's Ed and Al, and she's crying and hugging them, and she's like, dummies, welcome home,
because she's a tsundere.
Yeah, that's so sweet. And then we cut to 2 years later. Ed is, we see Ed, he's fixing the roof, and he tries alchemy, and of course it doesn't work. But then Al joins him, and they're like looking out, and they're like, we have an idea.
Let's bring Mom back.
Yes, that's for later, Megan.
Okay.
And then we kind of see a lot of other people, what they're up to. Mrs. Bradley and Grumman, who is now the Fuhrer, we see them chatting. And Salim runs up, and he's so adorable. He's still got, like, a little mark that he had
like
when
the
he was a
mark, yeah.
Little tiny baby. And he's just a very sweet boy. He has a little bird in his hand, and he's like... can we save it, Mom? And it's just so sweet. But they're watching over him also to see if, you know, he has any of his prideful tendencies. but honestly, I don't think he will. And then Al visits Alicia and Mrs. Hughes, and he's just like, thanks them and tells them that he wants to give back, which... Well, Megan already mentioned, we talked about this earlier, but, like, it's so sweet that, like, they don't ever forget, like, everybody that they lost, like Hughes, and then also even Nina, like...
Oh, they brought up Nina twice last two episodes.
They did, and, like, she's part of their inspiration for, like, doing what they're doing, and I love that, because it's important not to, like, forget the people that helped you get to where you are.
Yeah.
It's very sweet, and this, he tells Alicia and Mrs. Hughes that he wants to give it back. His plan is to go to Shing and beyond to learn alchemy and whatever else he can learn, and also he wants to see the world, explore, and we also learn that Zampano and Jerzo are going with him. And it's super, it's super funny because they, like, meet up at, like, a little cafe or whatever, and he asks for milk.
Of course he does. Al's a growing boy. He needs he needs as much of vitamins and calcium and anything that he can get after what he's been through.
Yep. And I bet as soon as Al came back, Ed was like, no more milk.
Oh, I can quit eating for two.
And then we learn that Ed, while Al is going east, Ed is going west. And he's at the train station with Winry, and he's kind of sitting there, he looks uninterested, because Winry's like, don't forget this, and this, and it's like, okay, whatever.
He also looks kind of nervous, too.
He does. I wonder why. he's, the train comes and he's about to get on, and then...
and then the moment happens that Meg's been waiting for since episode one.
The cuteness. Well, he, like, turns around and his face, like, gets all red.
I don't think we've ever seen him blush this much
before. No, never. He points at her and he's like, it's equivalent exchange. I'll give you half of my life so you give me half of yours.
It's very cute.
And then Winry, like, is shocked, but then she's like, you idiot! I want to give you my whole life! And then she gets all red and is like, wait, no, maybe 90%, 80%, and then,
like... She's trying to calculate her lifespan, yeah. Like, how many years do I have left to give?
Right? She's like, okay, 85%, that's good. And then he, like, ugh. I don't know if we've ever seen him laugh like that. Like,
no. Okay, somebody in a post, somebody pointed out this is the only time you see Ed's walls completely go down. He's never had the opportunity to laugh, like, freely like this before.
Yeah. He laughs and then they hug. And it's so cute.
No couple ever kisses in this show.
No.
But we don't need that.
Yes, which we will talk about later. And it's just the cutest thing ever. And basically she accepts his proposal. And then he gets on the train and reflects on their journey with, like, the cutest quote ever, which we will read later.
Of course
we will. But it's the best, like, I think the first time we watched it, I'm pretty sure I, like, teared up a little and was like, oh my god.
I think I was just shell-shocked, and then the episode ended and I was like, what? What?
Wow. Yeah, so it was pretty awesome. And then it's over.
Yeah. Oof. So, before we cover anything else, briefly want to mention a bonus manga chapter and a little bonus scene that were included at the end of this last volume. So, the bonus chapter covers a little bit of Ed, Al, and Winry after everything's said and done. So, Al's still in recovery. EC still has one of the crutches with him. So it hasn't been that long after their journey, but they get Al's armor back, which has been pretty much destroyed. And Ed and Al were like, we are going to take it to a metalsmithing place and get it burnt down and, like, hammered out. And Winry's like, oh man, you sure you want to do that? And they're like, we got a plan for it, though. So they all go together and they watch the armor getting melted down, which kind of makes Ed and Al a little bit uncomfortable, understandably, because that used to be Al's body. But what they do with the metal is they're going to fashion it into automail for people so that Al's armor can live on in others and help other people. And they also take a little bit of the metal to make a new gardening tool for Pinako, so she's working in the garden with a piece of Al. And they couldn't find Al's helmet for some reason, and Ed discovers that their dog Den took it, and some birds found it and made a nest out of it. Yes. Just perfect.
Very sweet.
Yes. And then the bonus scene was just Trisha and Hohenheim reuniting. They reunite on the hill where their house used to be. So this is like heaven, I guess. And they're just like catching up, and Hohenheim is saying like, oh, you wouldn't believe how awesome our sons are and stuff like that. Very sweet. Very good way to end things.
Yes. And then the final, like, I mean, the outro, which is actually, I think this time it's the second intro.
Hologram, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But then we see, like, a bunch of images from, I guess, the even farther in the future. We get one
photographs.
Yes. Winry and Dominic together, and then we see Pinako by the graves of both Trisha and Hohenheim, and then we see Armstrong with Brosh and Ross, and then a cute one of Xiaomei. And then Scar and Miles, and then Hayate and puppies.
Yeah.
And then we see Yoki and the Chimeras at a circus. Yoki is a clown.
Of course he is.
Then we see Emperor Ling. Yes. And then we, like, Lanfan hiding in the background. And Mustang and Risa.
Interjection here. Mustang has a just... but ugly mustache in the anime. No one likes it. Everyone I've seen photoshops it out. But that's not, it's not even in the manga. Like,
they added it. Yeah.
They added it for the anime. Why would you add that? It's like a pencil mustache. It doesn't do him any favors.
It's terrible. Like, okay. I could see him doing something ridiculous like that. Like, it totally, like, fits with him. But It's disgusting.
Oh, and Risa cut her hair. It's a pixie cut again.
Yeah, it's cute. Although I also really loved her.
Her long hair was really pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, pixie cuts, it makes her eyes even bigger, though, when she has a pixie. So it's...
Yeah.
Either way, she's beautiful no matter what. But Risa, please, tell your man to shave.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the picture says it all. Like, she's not happy about it.
Her face doesn't look very happy.
And then we also see Izumi and Sei.
Yeah.
And Fury. And then, Jean.
Yeah, Jean. Not Jean. Jean.
Yeah, my brain is like, Jean, John, which one is it?
Yeah.
Jean, Rebecca, and Breda. And then Falman, and he has kiddos, and it's so cute. Yeah. Finally, we see, well, not finally, Ed, Winry, and then they have two kids. A boy and a girl, and then in that picture also is Al, Pininha, Mei, and Xiaomei, older versions of them, mm-hmm. And then,
Mr. Garfield, the automail engineer, yep. When we worked for.
Yeah, and then the last image of the show is Ed getting on the train.
I love that picture.
And that's it.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, like, I know some people don't like when, like, the final episode is just all, like, here's what happened in the future.
I like the fluff.
I want to know what happens.
Yeah, in fact, I was more upset when I saw the images and, like, you see Winry and Ed married and with kids. I'm like, I didn't want a time skip. I wanted to see that. Time skips make me a little edgy sometimes. I don't know. I want to see all the stuff that happens to my babies.
But it's also, like, the story's over, so...
Yeah,
like,
gotta do what you gotta do.
I'm okay with, like, I don't feel like I need to see everything. I just want to see... Like, I just want to know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's it. No, anything else?
Well, we got theories for things never mentioned in the show. So Ed can no longer do alchemy. But what about alkahestry? Those are two different things. So would he have the ability to learn those arts from Mei?
I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like he could. Just because it's like, whole like foundation is totally different. Like how you...
You use the earth, not...
Use the earth and not the...
tectonic plates or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't... Like, they never... I don't remember Scar or Mei ever being, like, the portal of truth. Like, they never talked about
Don't.
Like, that's different from alchemy. So I feel like he could learn it, and that would be kind of sick.
I could see him just owning those throwing star things.
Yeah,
that
would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I agree that I feel like he could learn it. Yeah, I feel like we need like a light novel.
Oh, please.
Of them, like, but just like parts of their journeys. And I would love to know, like, Zampano and Jerzo. Like, I want to see them get their bodies back.
Yeah, I would like to know that too. I mean, they seem like, since they can shift between the two forms, they will probably be fine either way. But it would be nice if they could fix what happened to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, onto Ed's height. So he and Al are the same height now, and they are both taller than Winry. They are at least over 5'5", and according to online sources, they are probably around 5'7".
Yeah, I feel like that makes about sense.
Yeah. I mean, their dad was pretty tall, so they could get taller, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, Ed's only 18 at the end.
Yeah.
So he definitely could still get taller.
Yeah.
But
I love how they're the same height. Like, they can't... One can't lord it over the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Now, what was our favorite line of the episode?
This one is not only my favorite line of the episode, but my favorite line of the series,
yes,
period.
Same.
So, this is from the very end, and it came from Ed. There's no such thing as a painless lesson. They just don't exist. Sacrifices are necessary. You can't gain anything without losing something first. Although, if you can endure that pain and walk away from it, you'll find that you now have a heart strong enough to overcome any obstacle. Yeah, a heart made full metal. Oh.
Yes. Ooh, actually, we should post a picture of the bottle that I made you.
Yes, for sure. That heart made full metal. That like, if anyone says that quote to me, I will immediately stop and, like, I'll make a face, like a really contented face.
Yeah, I love that. I think that, yeah, it is just my favorite quote. And it like, perfectly sums up the show. Like,
yeah.
It's just perfect. And then what did we learn in this episode?
There is no such thing as a painless lesson.
Yes, and really, not just this episode, but that's the whole show.
Yeah, and that's life. I mean, give and take. And I think Al had something going there. He mentioned they're trying to get rid of equivalent exchange in favor for something new entirely. So I wouldn't say I completely agree with equivalent exchange either. And I think Ed and Al are starting to break free of that because they're starting to see that if you take somebody else's contribution and add to it yourself, you might not have the give and take. You might add even more than already was there, which I would say is the basis for science even, because...
Yeah, you're like build on the knowledge of the past. Yeah, totally. And, well, no one really... The story's over, so no one really pushed the story forward.
This is everybody's episode.
Yes, exactly. And with that, we have finished. But we are not done. We have a couple of things that we want to talk about later, including, I feel like, character analyses, and then just, like, some other points that we wanted to discuss about the show that we missed. And then also we're planning on doing another bonus episode where we talk about some of the light novels and also compare it to the original Full Metal.
Yep. We'll cover bloopers and...
Yes, the bloopers.
We need to cover the bloopers.
Those are so funny.
And we haven't been able to find the OVAs. They're like floating around on the internet, but we can't get them. But we know there are bonus episodes too that we haven't seen. If anyone knows where those may be, please let us know. But if we aren't able to discuss them on the podcast, just know that maybe one day you'll be able to find them. So there's more to the story.
Yes. Thank you for sticking with us for all of the episodes. I can't, like, we did it. Oof. Yay. Yeah. It was a lot of work, but it was really fun. This is, like, my favorite show, so.
Yeah. It was a joy to get to watch it again, but also just doing this podcast. I mean, I've kind of always wanted to do a podcast, but to be a little serious for a moment, I've been doing a lot of moving around in the last few years, and my life has been very uncertain, and this is the one consistent I've had. Like, this is something I needed.
Nice. I like that. Yeah, I guess for me, I'm not the most talkative or outgoing person, and so I wanted to push myself and do something that I've never done before. And yeah, I had a good time, and we will definitely be doing another podcast, which we will talk about, I don't know.
Sometime. We're getting the details together.
Yeah, but we're planning it. Yeah, all right, we will be... back next week with another episode still, so
stay tuned, and thank you so much for listening.
All right, bye.
Bye.